John Crompton joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you today?
I'm smashing. How are you?
Good. Let's start with Welborn, since we're coming to at least a point here. A couple of meetings, the one in Welborn on the 22nd and 2 days later on the 24th, so people understand, as one member of council, your view on the Welborn situation.
I think it's very important that the city annex Welborn, and the reason for that is that the long-term costs to the city of not annexing it would be huge.
Now, but we've seen some numbers also as to what's going to need to be done to run a lift station out, run a sewer line out, that might not necessarily be utilized in the short term. How is it a justifiable, now that we do know some numbers, how is that a justifiable expense for return on investment, say, within the next 5 to 7 years?
It probably isn't, Scott. I mean, we're looking out 10, 15, 20 years, but when you look out of the long term, the costs of not annexing Welborn will be substantial. And those costs come in various forms. They come in the staff time in putting these things together. Once Welborn is allowed to incorporate, it will be the beginning of an ongoing campaign. Once they've done that, then they will seek to annex the next half mile, which they're allowed to do under the rules, and those people will lobby to come into Welborn, and then the next half mile, and then the next half mile, and this will be a perpetual ongoing saga which will run and run and run for the length of the city, for in perpetuity out there as we go on through that. There will be the cost of court cases. We in the city of Bryan have 67 partnerships. We get along very well on perhaps 65 of them. But if you go to the agendas of the city council over the last 20 years, you're hard put to find an agenda in the last 20 years when there wasn't a suit between College Station and Bryan. And when you set up another city on the south side with the best will in the world, that will occur down the road. And if you want some feel for the costs, we've just resolved the thing with Welborn Water. It cost both of us about $500,000 to resolve that thing. We had all the stuff with the landfill in Bryan. We've now got CCNs with Bryan. It's all the legal bills that come on in. It's the agitation costs. And, of course, there's the free rider issue, which is also part of this problem.
What can you say to those people who want to preserve a portion of Welborn? What do you think you should be able to do as a city to extend an olive branch, if you will, on that?
Everybody is supportive of protecting Central Welborn and its cultural heritage. And whoever prevails in this dispute will use exactly the same mechanism. They will put an overlay district on, whether it be the city or whether it be Welborn. They will put an overlay district up, and the conditions of that overlay district will be laid down by the residents within the protected area, whether it's them or us. So this is not about saving Welborn. Both sides want to do exactly the same thing, and exactly the same outcome will result.
Should that overlay be the original meets and bounds of Welborn, in your view, or greater than that?
It should be the area we're annexing now. I mean, I think that's the area which is the cultural heart of Welborn.
Cultural heart of Welborn. I like that. Hey, I understand that all retired members of council who have parks named after them are going to have to mow them. Is that right?
Well, some of us, that only applies to those who got them while they were on the council or after the council. Those of us who are before the council, Scott, never thought of going on the council, it doesn't apply.
You're clear of that.
And we talked about this a little bit off the air. Obviously, you'll be ending your term here in a couple of months, and you spent 8 years doing this.
No, sir, I spent 4 years.
Oh, 4 years, that's right, doing this. And then you were on the Parks Council before that.
Oh, I was
that,
on that forever, yeah. I had 13 years of that.
So you got to go back and say there were some pleasant and unpleasant surprises.
That's
so
correct.
Let's talk about the pleasant ones first.
The pleasant ones were the opportunity to visit with lots of people in the community who I otherwise would not have known, and to get to know them. And there's some really fine people in this community. And let me say, Scott, as a general rule, a comment I made to you earlier. This has been a wonderful experience, and I say that without any cynicism at all. It has had the adrenaline rushes and the tedium, the successes and the disappointments of all the best experiences. I wouldn't have changed it for anything, but I'm ready after 4 years to close the door behind me and move on with other areas of my life.
You know, you had said, I think the night you were reelected, you said, our agenda, your words, agenda, and I don't know that that's a word that should mean anything positive or negative. Neighborhood integrity. Do you feel like you've reached a level of neighborhood integrity for established neighborhoods?
We've made a lot of progress in that area, but there are only certain things you can do through ordinances and legislation, Scott. And at the end of the day, that problem will always be with us. You cannot register, you cannot say to some folks, you can't rent a house in this area, whereas other folks, you have to buy a house in this area. You can't make those kinds of decisions. So ultimately, the conflict invariably comes down to conflicts between renters and existing homeowners, and many of those renters are students. And there's no way you can legislatively avoid that. In terms of code enforcement, we've upped that considerably. In terms of improvements in those neighborhoods, we've made substantial improvements, particularly on the south side. We've provided the mechanism for a historical district there on the south side. We've done a lot, Scott, but there's limits to what you can accomplish.
How about, and one of the things you've been a very strong proponent of, I know, is making growth pay. Do you think College Station's moved to that position now where we're doing that?
Yeah, we've done a lot in that, but the big test will be impact fees, which is coming up. I mean, that clearly is, if you're a fiscal conservative as I am, that's clearly a central plank in your platform, and we'll see where that goes. That's really the acid test for me.
The future of impact fees, obviously transportation has been one of the major ones.
That's off the table right
all
now,
right.
Scott.
That's what I say. Now, what is the future of an impact fee?
Well, we're looking at water and wastewater. Those are the two biggies.
Now, greening the community, something that's been important to
yes,
you
sir.
As well.
Yes, sir.
Concerns about O&M after something is put in place, whether it's existing parks or, I think, trees, obviously. There are a lot of trees that were added.
Sure.
This is something that has some people concerned that you tie the city into O&M costs on down the road that are not justifiable.
The future of this city, Scott, depends on its economic development. We have a lot of economic development opportunities, and some which are not at the table yet, but the biomedical corridor is huge. When you're looking at bringing people to town, and I've had a lot of experience in the last 10 years at recruiting senior people to town at the university, they always ask you two questions. Number one is the job. Number two is, tell me about the amenities in the community. Now, I can tell you, Scott, in the last 10 years, and I'm talking about visiting with literally hundreds of people, most recently on the search for the provost, I can tell you nobody ever asked me what was the tax rate in College Station. What is important to high-end positions is the quality of the amenities in the community. Now, the kind of things that people talk about as being trivial and peripheral and not core, things like the arts, the parks, the landscaping, the festivals and events, the Wolf Pen concerts or whatever, those actually are central to our economic development effort. And if we don't make those ties, you won't bring those companies and those businesses to town because they'll go to our competitors. And our competitors are not Temple and Colleen and Bryan. Our competitors are Davis, California, Boise, Idaho, Boulder, Colorado, Blacksburg, Virginia, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Raleigh. I mean, that's our competitors. Those people have got beautiful places and attractive places with lots of amenities. If we don't do that here, those businesses, and we're talking now a level of business involvement here, which would be transformative for this community. We're talking, Scott, the B word, not the M word. We're talking over the next 10 years about $1 billion of new businesses moving in here if we get it right. And all of those so-called frills are critical to that effort. So this business about fussing about $1,000 of maintenance here, or we wouldn't open a park this year because it would cost us $8,000 O&M for a 73-acre park along Carter Creek, is totally wrong perspective. It's myopic. And unless we invest in the long term here, we will not realize our potential in this community.
With all due respect, I believe all of the cities that you've named are at least twice and sometimes a factor of four or five times older than the city of College Station. We can't get to that point overnight.
No, sir, exactly. And it takes 30 years to grow a tree.
True, but they've also been able to amortize those expenses over that time of year. You can't compare us to a Chapel Hill or a Blacksburg, Virginia, that are very old cities. And because of that, they've had time to develop these things. Not saying they're nice places, not saying we shouldn't have them, but it can't be done overnight.
We are behind the eight ball, Scott, and we have done a terrific job of managing this city over recent years. What concerns me right now is that people have got their mindset very much on tax cuts. Tax cuts are easy. You defer maintenance, you defer capital investment, you freeze positions, and anybody could do that. But it's an extraordinarily short-term strategy, because when you do that, you end up with a city like Bryan in the 1980s. with a dilapidated city falling apart. And the existing people who are in authority now making those decisions are long gone from the scene. They have boasted about their tax cuts and keeping expenditures down, created the mess which will appear in 8-10 years' time when these kinds of things have not happened that should have happened.
What do you say to that person who says, we're not distinguished professors, emeritus, with tenure?
I'm not emeritus, Scott.
Okay, all right, excuse me, that's true. You come from a university culture, and there are many people here who are not of the university culture. There are people here who are scraping by, and they're going, I think there's a level of detachment here.
No, that's not true. In order for this community to thrive and create opportunities for everybody, you have to, first of all, have high-end economic development. High-end, top jobs, then follows, middle-end follows it, low-end follows it to service those, then come the houses, then come the retail. The high-end is the key. It's the driver of this whole train. And unless you put the package together, which includes amenities in this community, that high-end development will remain underutilized.
John Crompton joining us this morning. Explain to me money that is taken from utilities and put into the general fund. I know that there's some discussion about that ROI. Please explain that to us so that we can understand it and how there might be a difference.
Many cities in Texas have their utilities supplied privately by private investors rather than by the city. A private company has a profit margin, and that profit margin might be anything around 10%, 12%, whatever it is. In this case, the city runs it. And so the state of Texas allows the city to take that profit margin and put it into its general fund. In other words, the cities, which is, of course, the utility is technically owned by the taxpayers and the residents of College Station, those residents get a return on their investment, which goes into the general fund, which keeps those residents' taxes low. That's the principle, Scott.
What are we talking about percentage-wise here?
I can't, and Jay would have to, I don't know what the percentage is. It's about $8 million a year that goes in. And let me say, Scott, we made some changes this year. In the past, it has been tied to the revenues of the electricity department. And as inflation has increased, so our percentage amount has increased. We changed that this year, a radical change. We tied it to the number of units sold. So if the price goes up but you don't sell any more units, you don't get more money.
Okay.
So that's tied strictly now to the expansion of the city rather than to expansion of the dollars. And that led to a reduction of about $800,000 in that electricity fund this year.
Where are we as far as your point of view? Have you changed your point of view on the piece of property that was bought for the convention center on University Drive?
The convention center is interesting. Throughout the last 10 years, that has been driven really by the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They did the studies on that thing. There were 17 councilmen who have been on the council between 2002 and 2008. All 17, irrespective of their political stripes, voted to support that effort. The Convention Bureau every year came forward and said, we need a conference center. So when the opportunity came, we purchased it. We did it. We put the things down. At that point, there seemed to be a shift in amongst the hoteliers and the convention people. And they started having second thoughts. When they had second thoughts, we had second thoughts. We pulled it out of the budget in 2009. We pulled it out in 2010. And right now, the Convention and Visitors Bureau are doing a study to find out for the highest and best use of the hotel occupancy tax money. And I suspect that will come in June or July, and I suspect at that time that the council will follow whatever recommendations they come forward with, which is what they have been doing all along.
Last time we were in and we talked about that, you felt like it was still a good investment. You felt like there could be a return on investment as the College Station, city of College Station being a landlord for a period of time. You still feel that way?
The reality of that, Scott, is that we get $400,000 in rental monies from the properties on there. And we put $9 million into it. And so you're still getting 3 or 4% return on it. I mean, if you sell that land and it's redeveloped and you put $20 million of redevelopment on it, $20 million at, let's say, a 50-cent tax rate, give you $100,000. We're getting $400,000 now. So, yes, ultimately, if we're not going to use it for a convention center, of course it should be sold. But it should be sold at the peak of the market. We should wait and hold on because it's not costing us any money right now.
The biomedical corridor you touched on a moment ago, there's the medical corridor in College Station. Kind of explain, if you will, more the vision of what the medical corridor in College Station will be.
Well, we've got a committee examining that problem right now, Scott, or that issue right now, Scott. A committee of about 25 citizens are developing that for us. But we clearly have the Med and we have Scott and White and the Scott and White campus. I think there's clearly room at some future time for a major psychiatric place to come in there. That's a weakness in our present or limitation, our present delivery system, and I would expect something like that to happen. But as ultimately this could be a regional health center, something like, on a smaller scale, obviously, like Anderson is down in Houston, where all of these medical people come together in one place, and I think it'll be a huge economic magnet for us.
So as you leave Council, what did you say are the two most important things that College Station needs to get done in the next decade?
The biomedical corridor is clearly the first one. And then I think you have to continue to emphasize that fiscal conservatism, which means those who benefit pay. And I think that if people keep that crucial dictum in mind, then I think the city will do just fine.
John Crompton. We didn't always agree on things. I always appreciated you coming in, being forthright. The amount of time that people have to spend on this council job is incalculable lots of times, and we thank you for the service to the community.
I would say that the time is part of it, Scott. The rest of it is the emotional effort and energy involved, and nobody who goes for this office should underestimate that.
There you go. Thanks for the time.
You're welcome, sir.
News Talk 1620 WTAW.